This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, it's snowy. It's messy. It's a snow day, Bart. People are home. You got remote learning going on all over the place.
It's been remote learning, so that's nothing new for the fans.
For us at least, it has been. But you know what? When you're home and you're listening, however you're listening, you're listening. You're part of the conversation. So if you want to be part of that conversation, we open the buffet. Wait, let me check.
Knicks win.
Now.
Knicks win.
Oh, we'll talk about the victorious Knicks.
We will.
And we'll great it. Pre and post by Alan Han.
Then How'd call I look us from up home?
At 1-800-919-3776
to get on the phone lines, baby. Listen, we know you got nothing to do, but listen to us. Man, I know you're tired of watching Netflix and chill. You got nobody to chill with because COVID's out here. So you just Netflixing. You ain't chilling. So go ahead and call in and talk to your boys. We'll holler at you. We'll let you pass the time before you start sitting around the TV like Martin, chilling like a mug. Chilling. So let's go on, call us up. If you can't get us on the phone line, that went over almost everybody's head. But
I heard you. I know you felt me. I heard
but,
you.
But
you saw my face.
If you can't get us there, catch us on the tweet at Bart9.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get us on the tweet, get us on the gram. No DMs today. We got all the motivation we need. And if not, Bill, tell them where the hell you can get us at.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Snapface is a real thing, guys. Listen, that's the dark web. Because
Is that where you find it?
Yeah, because he's a Sith Lord, so you know what I mean. He's only going to promote bad stuff.
Oh man, Week 15 NFL. Yes, we are getting closer and closer, and the stories continue to come out. It's including on the Giants front, which is the breaking news part. But first and foremost, Bart, you're looking so fresh and so clean.
Hey man, because John inspired me. He had the 5 o'clock shadow, looking like David Hasselhoff after. You know, after a couple of days off the beach, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what, man? Do my face look like that? Let me go ahead and shave my face. Now you've seen when your boys like need a haircut.
He looked like Ben Affleck, like with like those bad pictures of Ben Affleck, when he was having his issues, you know, and TMZ caught up to him. Like that's he was starting to look a little like that.
Yeah. But we're gonna get him up. It inspired you
to go like literally as we're preparing for the show. Bart is in his bathroom, which he's actually done before, and you can tell it's the bathroom because you can just see bathroom lighting. Like you know what bathroom lighting looks like. So it's like, are you in the bathroom? And you're like, yeah, oh, okay then.
Mute, please.
But you were shaving. Put the old number one on. Literally shaving while we were doing. You look fresh and clean, and that's what matters most. And when we're on ESPN Plus in another couple of weeks, that will matter even
got that
more.
Got that brute and that Old Spice on the face.
Yes, sir.
It burns.
Yes, sir.
It burns.
But as we get into yet another week and we inch closer to seeing if the Jets do get that number one draft pick spot, our good friend Rich Simini puts a story on the .com that, by the way, he is incessantly promoting this story. He might have tweeted about this like 8 times already.
Yeah.
And it is a story that has a very simple lead. He wouldn't, would he? And you know what this is about. About Trevor Lawrence and the Manning factor and the Jets being what they are. And Simini talked to a bunch of different agents and some others as well. Actually, it was 5 prominent agents, 3 former general managers, and a partridge in a pear tree. And the quotes that he came up with are enough to make you, if you're a Jets fan, frustrated. Here's one agent saying about if he's represented Trevor Lawrence and how you'd feel about the idea of the Jets drafting your player and would you consider staying, what would you do? And he said, would I be hesitant? It would be a stop sign that would be about 100 feet in diameter.
Sure. That's the most dumb. That'd be funny. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Wow.
Because, and this is why it's dumb. Okay, the Jets were 7-9 last year. Yes, the cupboard bare. The cupboard is bare. But in this case, I think the cupboard being bare is a good thing. Because could you imagine, you know, going somewhere that they don't have flexibility? Maybe Trevor Lawrence wants, like, you know, one of his fifth round receivers to come with him, or one of his receivers that's coming out with him. Maybe, you know, he gets to control the narrative. He gets to be a mini James Harden. He gets to say, these are what I need. These are the type of receivers that I like. These are the type of tight ends I like.
All right, before you continue to make the case, though, because you have a big case to build here, let me set up this story, and then, of course, we hear from Trevor Lawrence himself, which adds to the story. So later in the story, one of the agents also says that if you're an agent, actually all five agreed that whoever's representing Lawrence would have to have a conversation with him about the pros and cons of playing for the Jets, examining everything from ownership's commitment to winning to the offensive line's ability to protect him. One agent said it would be, quote, malpractice by Lawrence's side to not discuss the option of pursuing a trade. There's also something else in this that now the BS meter starts to just go off the charts, right? And that's the part which is Jacksonville versus the Jets. Because
right.
Jacksonville's the other team that could either get number one or at least be number two. And you can see the whole Eli thing of, you know, I'm not playing for you, so you might as well trade me. And then the 2-1 trade you for each other, right? It is the argument that you don't need the Joe Namath thing. Which Joe Namath, of course, talks about how, you know, there's no greater city than New York. I mean, look what it did for him, right? And, you know, it's a special place to play. I love Joe.
Right.
And this agent said, the days of Broadway Joe are over. He said, it doesn't matter where you play anymore. That's where I completely X out of the story. I don't want to read anymore. Because that's the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard. And I hear that a lot in NBA circles. It's garbage. And here's why. Because everybody makes money, but not everybody has clout.
Exactly.
And the top players, the money's nice. Sure, you're in commercials and stuff, but nobody knows who the hell you are, really. Patrick Mahomes is great. So, yeah, he sells anywhere, including Kansas City.
Yeah.
But if you're in Jacksonville, you're not going to get what you can get. You don't get the Quan in Jacksonville. I'm sorry. You don't.
Yeah.
That still exists in New York, and that narrative has got to stop. It's absolutely false. It is not true. Because when you give me the examples of, well, James Harden and this guy, yeah, great. They sell sneakers in China. That's money.
Right.
But clout is when you are in this country, and everybody, you can't go anywhere because everybody knows who the hell you are. Again, Aaron Rodgers, okay, well, he's in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
Like, that's the difference. You'd have to become one of the greatest of all time to overcome a small market.
Right.
I'd rather put you in a big market and let you become the greatest of all time in a big market where you become even greater because you'd become massive.
Yeah, look at Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has thrown for 5,000 yards a bunch of times. Yeah, he hasn't done a lot of winning, but he's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, you look at Matty Ice down in Atlanta. Outside of his shaving commercial when he first got in, this dude is a
former. Still didn't know who he was, though, right? Yeah, you just saw exactly. Him. Like, oh, that's the Falcons quarterback.
Right, he's a former, like, MVP. Did he win MVP? Or was he close to winning MVP?
I thought he did, yeah.
Yeah,
but the bottom line is that if you're a football fan, you know who Matty Ice is. You know the exactly. Nickname and all that stuff. If you're not, see, that's the difference. People who aren't football fans know who Tom Brady is. Why? Because he wins all the time. He's everywhere. Like, that's the difference. But if you play in New York, that changes. You don't have to be a football fan to know Joe Namath.
Right. And if
you don't have to be a football fan to know who Eli Manning is.
Right. And the case is, like, okay, force a trade. Okay. You want to go to Detroit? No. Negative. Okay. You want to go to Jacksonville? Negative. Right? So, like, you look at the other two places that's in need of a quarterback. You know, Dallas, he's not going to Dallas. Like, they'll never be
a superstar in Dallas, though. You
right,
have to admit that, but that's a major market, especially in football.
Right. They'll never be that bad to get the number one overall pick.
Okay.
Right? Like, you want to go to Washington? Okay. Like, is that any better than the situation that the Jets potentially can be? Like, you know, you got to understand, it's about the coach. And like you said before, it's about the coach. And the advantage that the Jets have, it's the advantage that they have is the fact that all these things are going to take place before the draft. Right? Trevor's going to come out. DeClaire is going to come out. He may want to come out and say, I don't want to get an agent so he can go back to college if that's the game that he wants to play. But listen, coming here and playing in New York and being the opposite Danny Dimes and coming to a division where it's not an Aaron Rodgers that's going to dominate for the next couple of years, like when you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, come in and be one of these young guns competing and competing with these guys, against these guys, the Josh Allens, the Tua Tagovailoas, be able to compete against these guys for the next 15 years. Like, stop it, man. Like, would you rather live in Buffalo? I wouldn't even want to live in Buffalo. Like, who wants to live in Buffalo? But Willis McGahee famously said, the only thing that guys are Applebee's and the women are ugly. So, like, who's trying to live up there?
Wait a minute. I mean, okay, but, you know,
you talk about quality of life, opportunity to win. If you turn this place around, like, this isn't the Knicks, right? This team hasn't been horrible for 10 years. For 10 years, they've been average or bad.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. But 10 years, like just 10 years ago, they were in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, that's 10 years though, Bart.
Yeah, but 8-8, but I understand. But then they were 10-6.
Look, the last 4 years have been abysmal.
Yes, been abysmal. But last year, even last year, they were horrible, no hope, they won 7 games. So, like, abysmal is, I think, a bit of a stretch. I think when you think about the Lions and where they've been for the last 20 years, that's abysmal. When you think about Jacksonville.
Yeah, but if Lou Riddick ends up there, you know, again, like that's
but you have you have your Lou Riddick. You have your Lou Riddick and Joe Douglas. If Joe Douglas was out and he was the general manager candidate right now, he'll be taking some of these interviews from Louis Riddick.
He'd be a hot candidate.
He'll be a big deal.
Right.
So they went out and did what they needed to do. Dude had one draft, and look what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we always know it always gets worse before it gets better. We talked about all the examples of San Francisco. We talked about the examples. Who's the other team that we were talking about the examples of? We talked about San Fran and how they rebuilt and how it took 3 years. Joe Douglas might as well say he's really only going on 2 years because this would be his second draft.
Right.
And he has a lot of ammunition. If this year's draft is any indication of what he's capable to do with some draft picks, imagine now he has high draft picks.
And he's got a lot of them.
And he has opportunity.
Got a lot of, and the cap space. And you're right. You said it yesterday, and you're 100% right. What you do, not hire the coach and have a good free agency, and that changes the outlook going into the draft. So if you're Trevor Lawrence, if you're an agent, of course you're thinking this stuff when you're kicking around. But there's no way you make any decisions until you see, all right, what are they going to do with the coach, and how do they do in free agency before you make any of those Eli type of decisions or even what Peyton allegedly did, although Archie's quoted in this story shooting a lot of that stuff down as well because he's like, well, the Colts weren't very good either. But, you know, neither here nor there. Bottom line is, what you said yesterday to me is the statement that matters the most, is what the Jets do from Black Monday forward is critical now to them making sure that they look as appealing as possible. So this is not a story.
Yeah.
So Trevor Lawrence isn't becoming that guy that says, I ain't playing there. Remember Joe Burrow last year, that was a whole thing, right?
Yep.
About Cincinnati, that he didn't really sound too thrilled about it. Well, how'd that work out? He stepped in there. He played pretty well. He did get hurt, but still, he's there. They've got him, and now they feel pretty good about their future. Now, okay, we talk, we speculate, we say all this stuff. But when Trevor Lawrence talks, most of the time he talks around this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sat down with Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick asked him directly about the Jets and if he's prepared for the Jets to draft him. And it's the first time we really heard Trevor Lawrence talk specifically about the draft and the possible destination. So here's his answer to whether or not he's prepared for the Jets to draft him.
Like, honestly, I know some of this stuff I say sounds cliche, but just to have the opportunity to go somewhere, help someone rebuild if that's what it is or whatever, and just win. That's what, you know, something I love doing. I think that's what I'm best at is winning, you know, regardless of stats, whatever it is, that's what I love. So just to have that chance, obviously some places it'll be more of a challenge than others, but I think I'm up for it. And that'll get here when it's here. Just trying to focus now on being great where I'm at.
I'll tell you what, Bart, that to me is the banner that you hang in the building. That's what I'm best at.
Yes.
Winning.
Exactly.
That's what you want, that kind of talk. And if you're going to speak that boldly, then you shouldn't be afraid of a team that hasn't won because, well, that's what I'm about. So you want me because I bring that.
Dude's 85-6 since high school.
Is that true?
High school, he's 85-6. Dude's lost six games in 7 years.
That's
so what I'm saying is, and this is the good
Have
thing.
Have the Jets won six games? In
Anyways. But this is a good thing. He's coming to a place that he will be part two or phase two or year two of the rebuild. So it's not like he's coming in year one of the rebuild. He's coming in year two of the rebuild. Right? So he's coming in, and they already got a plan. They got him a left tackle. They got him a decent number two receiver. All they got to say is, okay, we're going to go out and get you an offensive lineman. We're going to draft one. So now we should be a little better. You know what I mean? They're going to have an opportunity to go out there and say, hey, maybe we go get a Phillip Lindsay so that he can feel comfortable that he got a guy, a little scrappy dude he can turn around and hand the ball off to. We're going to give him a top flight tight end. And then don't forget you have a Pro Bowler coming back next year in C.J. Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Pro Bowler coming. You got a Pro Bowler coming back. You got a leader of men. You got a guy that comes from an organization in the Baltimore Ravens that knows how to teach middle linebackers, inside linebackers, how to lead organizations that traditionally hasn't won. So he's coming back. You got opportunity to go out and really make some splashes in free agency. And you have the opportunity, because of Trevor Lawrence, I believe, to attract the biggest fish coaches out there, period. Because guess what? If you're a coach and you have an opportunity to take a blank slate, I get my franchise quarterback, and I got the money to get whoever else I need via draft because I got draft equity, or via free agency because I got money in a depressed market where salaries are going to go down. You're going to get a guy maybe that would have cost $15 million at $10 million or $12 million because other teams aren't going to be able to protect their great players. You can't protect Zach Ertz. You got to say, well, Goddard is ready to play, and we can't really pay Zach Ertz because our salary cap's messed up, and because we didn't have concession, our organization lost money, so we're going to stay pat. Not the Jets. I mean, listen, I know Woody hasn't been part of the Johnson and Johnson family, hasn't really been a part of money for a while. I mean, I know that they that's not really what they do, but I don't know if they got stock options or part of the company or not, but I know they about to get a crap load of money for this vaccine. So the business is going to be doing well.
It's never about that, though. Their business has always been fine.
But the biggest
question about the Jets, as you know, it's not about money.
I'm talking about the small market teams that are really hurting, right? We see it happening in every sport. That they're saying that they're going to be.
You mean the residual? Yeah. There's going to be a residual effect. We're going to see it across the board in all sports.
And what do we talk about? What do we talk about? We talk about not the salary cap and what they have to spend. We talk about management. What are we talking about with the Mets being able to go do? So you can
get
best of the best because guess what? You have money, and you have salary cap space. So now you can go. If you got to overspend for Eric the Enemy, if you think that's your guy, then you overspend $2 million because there's no salary cap on coaches. So that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Jets, from a business standpoint, should be okay. You know what I'm saying? Outside of, like, you look at markets that really depend more on their fans showing up, like small markets like Green Bay, like small markets like the Buffalo Bills, like the Cincinnati Bengals. That's what I'm saying. Take advantage that you're liquid right now and attract the number one coach, which is attracted by the number one prospect since Andrew Luck.
And now, of course, the big question is, who is that coach? Now, Bill Barnwell on ESPN as an insider, he power ranked the best and worst potential NFL coach openings. And the Jets are not number one, which is not a surprise. But the top three teams all have something in common. And you tell me if you can figure it out. Ready? Number one, he has the Chargers potential opening. Number two, he has the Texans. Number three, he has the Falcons. What do those three teams have in common, which what would put them at the top?
They all got quarterbacks, but one got an old ass quarterback.
It don't matter. It's just the fact that they have, but they have quarterbacks. I mean, you know, again, Matt Ryan might be old, but he's still good, and he's there. You know, obviously, Deshaun Watson is probably the most attractive out of all of them, and then Justin Herbert.
They have no money, but Houston has no money. They got no money, and they got no draft picks because somebody decided to trade their first round draft picks for a left tackle
and
trade their best receiver, arguably in the NFL, for a bunch of wannabes. And guess what? The one that they need is on suspension for six games because he took some of that Canseco. So he's out. So he's out for six games. And who knows if he can't stay healthy.
He took some of that Canseco. Now, the Jets are among the teams in the next 10, right? Or to finish out the top 10. The Jets are the highest of any other team. They are 4.
Okay.
All right, pros, path to Trevor Lawrence, cap space, low expectations are the pros, believe it or not. The cons, bereft of talent, and one of the cons that he lists, Barnwell lists, is ownership. That's a, as you see, I'm telling you, that's the universal concern, is the very, very top of this organization. Do they know how to run a winning franchise? So that's the question. Jacksonville's on this list right after the Jets. The Eagles are on this list if Peterson loses his job. The Broncos are on this list. And the Lions and the Bears. So, and the Jets are ahead of all of those, including a Philly team that I know they have major cap issues, but you do have Carson Wentz. And yeah. You can say what you want about how bad he's played this year.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, it's still the Eagles, but anyways. So that's the job, and that's where you see it. So it's not as bad as maybe we think, but it does matter who they hire and then what they do through free agency, and that can lead you to Trevor Lawrence. But you know what, Bart? We still got to get to the most important part, don't we? Which is the finish line. And we're in that weird place where let's have Week 17 against the Patriots be the last time we want to see the Jets lose.
Yeah.
Let's let that happen. Like to me, can we make that? Can we, like, every Jet fan right now, put your right hand in the air.
Yeah.
I say your name. Solemnly swear that Week 17 is the last time I root for my team to lose.
Yes. Yes.
We all say it together. Because it has to happen. And that's where it begins. But unfortunately, we still got to get there, which is in a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
And everybody's afraid now of that game being the game you don't win.
And that's the game. That's why I fired Adam. That's why I fired Adam Gase the game before. I fired him in Week 16. Jim Bob Cooter, or the special team coach, is coaching my team.
What's Freddie Kitchens doing?
You know
oh, that's
saying?
Right. No, he's now the OC for the Giants this week.
Yo, give me Jim Bob Cooter. Jim Bob Cooter.
Real quick, we did bury this. I know it's not breaking news anymore because it did come out. Freddie Kitchens. I can't do it as well as Peter can.
He just looks like he looks like an ice road trucker.
He gonna kill you. Rosenberg's one of my favorite people in the world. So Jason Garrett tested positive for COVID-19. He continued the work. He's working remotely, but he will not be the OC this weekend against the Browns. So Freddie Kitchens, who's the tight end coach of the Giants, in case people did not realize that, like you were like, he's working for the Giants? Yeah, tight ends coach. He's now going to be the offensive play caller Sunday, and conveniently it'll be against the Cleveland Browns. Daniel Jones has a sprained ankle on top of the hamstring issue, so he's pretty much out, which means Colt McCoy, a former draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, will start at quarterback. This feels like a disaster, doesn't it, for the Giants? But it is what it is.
It feels like a horror movie.
It does. It is in a very important game for the Giants. Suddenly, well, you know, you'll still get a top 10 pick. Anyways, that's what's going on there.
Is that where Giants fans are? Because I want to talk to the Giants fans. I want to say what the expectations are. Do you just want to give up and wave the white flag, or do you still really want them to try and go for it?
Mailing it in now, but Washington certainly is not in a great place either with Alex Smith out.
Exactly, but sometimes when you win, you lose.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good question. All right, fine. It's a good question. All right, so Jets fans, Giants fans, here's your opportunity. 800-919-3776. Giants fans, how are you looking? Like Bart just said, how are you looking at this? Is this like that sign? Is this the white flag? Is this the, okay, well, it was a nice run, but this something's telling us we're not here to compete for the division. Or are you still believing in this team? Jets fans, you see the Samini story we told you about. Then you heard Trevor Lawrence and what he said. How do you feel about the future? And are you willing to say today, to make your oath today, that Week 17 is the last game you will root for your team to lose? Tell me you're not vibing to this right now. If you're in your car and you got to drive slow because the roads aren't good, or you're home and you're looking out your window and it's a blanket of white.
Yeah, home.
You tell me you're not vibing to this right now. You're welcome.
Watching your kids. Man, listen, they had a little rain for a minute, man. Then they just fell off quick. They was like Jodeci. They was like the anti-Jodeci. They weren't talking about getting it in and doing make. They say I make love to you, but Jodeci was talking about turn it off.
Baby.
I want to freak out of my mind. And they were talking about mama and all that stuff. And it's just like the nasty just wore off, man. It was like Jagged Edge came in. Bring them on. Bring out. That thong, 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 thong.
It's just the whole, the decade turned. The decade flipped all of a sudden when the different influences came in from around. But the Philly sound was nice. But I got to tell you, though, like, Boyz II Men was nice. But it just makes me think of
It was like doo-wop.
When they were coming around, and then Bell Biv DeVoe came back, and then they did that, you know.
Bumps and a bumps.
They flipped that one album. They turned it into, like, they called it, like, Boot City, and it was all remixes of all their stuff, and they... I was like, okay, this is going a completely different direction. It also seemed to be parallel with, like, that time where I went from innocent, you know, happy teenager playing basketball to, like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, baby.
Thirst bucket. You start thirst you bucket.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Straight thirst bucket.
Like, every song you like.
Right now.
Every song you like, I can relate to that.
Everybody was taking it. They was,
but nobody really knows what he was thinking.
But I mean, you talk about Silk, you talk about Jagged Edge.
Silk. What was the song by Silk? Oh my God, that song was so damn good.
Bro, you didn't have to wait.
You got
to
look it up. You do that, and I'm going to say this portion of Bart and Han is driven by your local Lexus dealer. The Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer.
There's a meeting in my bedroom. Bedroom. Girl, don't be late because I might finish without
song,
you.
No, there was a song by Silk that was like
Freak Me, Baby?
Freak Me, Baby.
No. The good one.
I got the best hints out right here, baby. I only got four here.
Freak Me, Baby.
Mm-mm.
What? Lose Control?
Mm-mm. No. Somebody will get it. No. That wasn't it.
Ah.
Oh, wait.
That was it.
That was one of them.
Let me look you up and down.
Come on, man. Till you say stop.
Mm-mm.
Raising 2G 2000 watts. Yeah.
I love when they would talk before the
song. Yo, you know, but that goes back to Teddy B and stuff. Like,
you're gonna make me go through the CDs behind me now and go find the Silk CD because it was one.
Listen, that's when they used to tell you exactly what's about to go down. Before I sing it to you, I just wanted you to understand what I'm about to say. It's like Teddy P, turn off the lights, turn them off. I told you, turn them off, girls. You know what time it is? It's candle time. Turn them off. Like, okay, man, calm your ass down.
Very, very aggressive.
Get real aggressive on it to stop.
The 70s were a different time. Like, he just ordered people around.
Yo, Clarence Thomas.
What?
I be stroking. Clarence Thomas. Man,
Clarence Thomas?
Clarence Thomas. Okay. Just like the judge. Oh, it's Clarence Carter. Clarence Carter.
All right, Clarence Carter. All right.
I be stroking. I tell you what, man.
Really?
I know we be listen.
So done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
I want to know where this is going, which is why I'm not cutting you off.
I look at my parents in a different way. Like, they talk about how nasty the whole Luke Tulai Crew era was.
Yes.
If you listen to Barry White, talk about what they talk about doing to my mama and my grandma. Yes, and you know what I'm saying? If you listen to what the hell they saying, they is really telling our parents some disrespectful things, man. Anybody out there that know what I'm talking about, I want y'all to call in.
I need to get that, because I'm thinking now of Shy. Remember that song, If I Ever Fall in Love?
Yeah. See, that's too
like,
sweet.
Songs like that is all corny.
Silk
but
like
Silk was different, though. Yeah,
they're about to get to the point.
I'm thinking of the wrong song at this point. I got to get out of my head, so let's move on to some calls.
Okay.
And let's go to Chris in Manhattan first. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you feel today?
Maintain it.
All right. I guess there's two things, right? Week 17. Am I hearing like nervousness from people because?
Yes.
Bart.
Yes.
How about this? Week 17. You gonna know what I mean by this? Cameron Clark.
What the hell is he even gonna play? Is he even playing? I hope he will start.
He will be on week 17. James Morgan.
Yeah, okay, I can roll
Pager.
With that.
You know where I'm going? That's a preseason game.
Barrios.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to try to have his... Bill's going to look this thing over.
Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham for you. I got N'Keal Harry for you. Jacoby Myers, take a seat.
Bill might get Drew Bledsoe to start.
Either way, they ain't winning that game. I don't care if I have to get Bane out here. and do something to the football field, okay? We going 0-16. I need
last
that,
Boy Scout?
That number one pick. Whatever happens, man. You know what I'm saying? At that point, no.
That's
going to
be, I'll tell you what, take the under, right? That's a game. Nah. Like, that's going to be a real interesting, like, Vegas should take that one off the board.
Yeah.
Because if you're Bill, you're doing whatever it takes to make sure the Jets win.
I'm going
to
call Jason Garrett and tell him to send me his T-shirt, his hanky right now.
Look, I guess the second thing is, you know, is there this sentiment that I should be nervous if we don't get Trevor Lawrence or he doesn't want to come here? Hold on, because Bart can walk you there slow on the improvements we can make on the offensive line, like a Joe Tooney, and then Bart, like, you know, it coming up. I want you to check out Wyatt Davis, Ohio State. Another guard, Trey Smith, Tennessee.
Oh yeah,
Rashawn Slater. Okay, we gonna set something up for whoever the quarterback. Matter of fact, you gonna set up an offensive line so nice that you're gonna be running to come and play here.
That's the thing.
You want
to get
what I'm saying,
Chris? I'm telling you, man. And I know you love to always call up about all the offensive linemen. So I appreciate you always.
So it's a 2-year thing.
Get those blocks of granite, put them right in front of him, and then say, "Oh, how does this offensive line look? Can you rock with this?"
They can fix this offensive line in 2 seasons. I mean, if you talk about Tooney, if you talk about any of the other linemen that he suggested with that second first round pick. Right, I'm not gonna go out and even though you want to, I'm gonna hold off on going to get a receiver in this draft in the first round. Mm-hmm. I got to get horses on the inside. So if you go get Tooney, right, then you go get another left guard. Now you got 3/4 of your 3/4 there. Like I told you, the year after that you go get Orlando Brown. Now you got like a Dallas Cowboys mm-hmm. type of line,
and then you got your
two,
and when you do that,
Trevor Lawrence,
your rookie now is no longer a rookie. As your rookie quarterback's got a year of experience, and your line just got better. And I see what you're setting up. And I also love the Zach Ertz thing that you laid out there a while ago. You need that comfort. You need that security blanket kind of tight end, and he would be that guy. Rashad in New Jersey wants the Giants to go for the division. No waving white flags around here, Rashad.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, Giants fan, been a Giants fan for a long time, and I have a lot of Dallas friends who would love to give me the business if we don't win that game
mm-hmm.
at the end of the season. So, you know, I don't want us to throw the flag. I want Ingram to catch some passes.
Be nice.
And, you know, I want us to finish strong, so we can see what we got, what we looking like, you know, possibly next year.
But what shot do you give him against Cleveland this week, with potentially a sitting duck? At you know, did you see what Cleveland did just last week?
Oh my God, I'm uncomfortable.
Lamar Jackson,
yeah, Cole McCoy.
Yeah, but you got.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable going into that game. Yeah.
Right. You're uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable going into that game. Yeah.
So if you have a compromised Daniel Jones, their pass rush is better than Arizona's. And then if not, you got a Colt McCoy who can't help himself, who's going to limit it to just basically running the ball. You can't even take advantage.
And they know you're running the ball, right?
Right.
And
exactly. You can't even take advantage of the fact that, yeah, now Cleveland gave up a crap load of yards rushing the ball, but that was to Lamar Jackson that was able to be that dual threat that made you have to figure out, like, do I keep a spot? Do I keep a guy back? Do I keep a guy up? And, you know, you don't have that type of offense. You don't have the ability to have those type of explosive runs. So, like, what does that mean, you know, for the Giants this week? And if you lose this week, at what point do you say, you know what, we need to shut Daniel Jones down? Because
he's got a hurt
hamstring. Now he has a hurt ankle.
The ankle, too, yeah. And that's where you got to decide. And so we'll see what happens this week. Ben is in Cleveland, wants to defend the Jets ownership. What's up, Ben?
Believe, Land.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to chime in real quick with what you guys were speaking about in terms of the Jets being this terrible organization. Alan, you read something where there were a few other teams on the list that we also know are pretty terrible, Chicago, Detroit. And somehow the Jets have worse ownership. I look at the Jets and I think about going from Parcells to Herman Edwards, Mangini, Rex Ryan, up until that moment in time. There's nothing I could say about the Jets in terms of, you know, they were this great franchise, but they certainly weren't the bottom of the league and scum of the earth. You go to Todd Bowles, they had a 10-6 year, missed the playoffs, and since then it's been all downhill. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that by far and away, Adam Gase was the worst coaching hire decision that the Jets have made in my lifetime. I was born in 88, 32 years old. And the Jets have always been middle of the pack, 8-8 potential team, and maybe they overachieve and get to the playoffs. So for me, all I'd like to see is for them to get back to at least who they used to be. And I don't know that you even need Trevor Lawrence to do that, but what I will say, if you get Trevor Lawrence, there's no reason for him to be concerned. It's pretty, I think honestly, maybe people are scared Jets are going to get him and turn the corner and be tremendous for the next, you know, decade
15
plus.
15 years, 15
That's
years.
Kind of all I see is a bunch of hate from everyone.
Okay, Ben. Well, I like that. I mean, and Joe Douglas is the guy that's got to be the architect to do it, and he's on the clock right now, right, Bart? Like we said this too. It's all eyes on him now.
This
and what
is his
he can do and what he can convince the owners to do as well when it comes to ownership, coaching. There's no doubt.
Yeah, they need to empower Joe Douglas because you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen. You got to say, listen, this is how we're going to go about it. We're going to go from your vision. We brought you in here for a reason. We believe in what you're doing. Yeah, it's going to be a partnership between you and the head coach. But for the most part, this is your team. Build it. Build it. Be the architect, right? We brought you in here because you've been around some of the greatest architects in the business, whether it's Howie Roseman, whether it's Ozzie Newsome. Mm-hmm. You've been around them. You know how it's supposed to be built. And you know that it's built with a foundation. And the foundation of any team is your O-line and your D-line. That's how games are won. They make more people better than any other position. If you have a stable offensive line, it makes your receivers better, your running back better, your quarterback better. I mean, we see that in Baker Mayfield. Could you take Baker Mayfield right now and put Baker Mayfield in the Jets and wonder what he would look like?
No, he looks better. Right.
If you put Sam Darnold on that team with those running backs and those tight ends and those he would have that team right there for the division.
Yeah, it's the line, and the line allows you the running game, and the running game allows your quarterback then to have more options, which makes him better because he doesn't have to do nearly as much or make the big-time throws and the big-time plays.
The windows are bigger.
100%.
Because you have play action, you got linebackers respecting the run, stepping up, creating all these voids. But when you have no offensive line, you can't run the ball, then those windows are tight because nobody's respecting it.
By the way, you were like going through all these songs that like were borderline, and I was telling you, like, it's not just R&B songs. Dave Matthews Band, Crash. I invite everyone to read the lyrics out loud. Don't sing them. Read them.
Yeah.
And see if you pause because you're realizing what you're saying and knowing that if I say this out loud, I can get a lot of trouble. I just invite you. That's one of many songs that you could just Google and say, wait, that's what that's about?
Right. Phrasing!
I used to love when like girls would sing songs all happily and you're like, you know what they're saying right now?
From the window to the wall. To the sweat ball of my what? What? To the sweat drop? What? Hold on.
What?
Skeet. All what? Like what? Oh, Eric, turn it off.
Yeah.
you'd be at that.
Dave Matthews is like happily saying like in a boy's dream. And you're like, wait, what was he just talking about there?
Like, hey, yeah. Like, what kind of dream is that? What kind of dream is that?
That's one when you, never mind.
Yeah. If you had that dream in person and you had that dream in reality, you get arrested.
What did you say to me?
Really?
When you first saw me today about last night's Knicks game? You said something right out of the gate, and you said it with a lot of – you said it with your chest.
Yeah, yeah.
You said it with a lot of passion. What did you say?
We got to win, man. We's balling. Kevin Knox.
First, you were what? You were watching the game, and what?
Yeah, yeah. I was about to poke my eyes out, man. I was like, man, listen to Clyde and everybody, like, man, watching them shooting. It was like, man, Alfred Payton's 92.2%. Like, what the hell? Like,
No. Alfred Payton was 0 for everything.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm like, they were like 6 for 20.
It was not. So
they were at that point when I was watching, and I was trying to rap Presence, man. It was like the worst background noise in the world. It was just horrible. I thought I was about to go call up my friend, my alumni, and say, hey, man, you okay, man? Like, you need a couple days off, man. He's just like this is
his first game back.
They're not swooshing and
dushing. But you can see, like, they're not swooshing and dushing.
They're not jumping and jiving. They're just stagnant in the
Topping was popping, though. He did say that. But, yeah, no, see, Clyde's funny. Clyde has no filter.
Yeah.
And he looks through the lens of a player who did been there, done that. Yeah, and when he watches guys who can't he like that guy can't play, like he'll tell you. Like you can tell what he feels about a player when he's watching and he's like, "Yeah, no, he can't play." Like he has no idea what especially on defense. He's like, "No, he has no idea what that guy's doing." Like Clyde will watch a game and go, "You know he can't go left, right?" Like he'll say it in the broadcast. Like, he's like what you would be if you did football, like, game analysis.
It's a Saluki thing.
But it's a defense thing.
brutally
you
honest.
You analyze the game differently. So you watch opponents and see what's their strengths and weaknesses, and you break it down and go, well, this is all you need to do against him, and you'll shut him down. And it's like, why aren't you doing that? Like, he can't comprehend why certain players just don't pick up certain things.
Didn't he say somebody couldn't think the game or something yesterday? He said something.
He might have.
He said somebody couldn't think the game. I was like, ooh, he calling them dumb. That's a professional way of calling somebody stupid.
Right. But all of a sudden, that game you were talking about that was ugly and frustrating and maddening and everything else, and oh my God, they're really going to be awful, flipped in the fourth quarter when Tom Thibodeau put a lineup out there on the floor that was Emmanuel Quickley, rookie, RJ Barrett, second year, Kevin Knox, third year, Obi Toppin, rookie, Mitchell Robinson, third year. And the oldest player out of that five was Obi Toppin at 22 years old.
The rookie.
So everyone else is so this was a U22 team. Now, to be fair, and I'm going to say this, and everybody has to understand, make sure you listen because I said this so you know I said it. The Cavs put out basically a G League team with Isaac Okoro. They didn't play, you know, their main guys weren't in the game. Andre Drummond wasn't playing. Colin Sexton wasn't even there. Right, like they didn't have the guys. Darius Garland didn't play. So you understand who they were going up against, fine. But that's not what you saw. What I saw was cohesion. I saw intensity. And I saw something that has been lacking here in a long time. Ooh. And that is something I feel like it's what I always give the people what they want. And what they want to see are your draft picks playing together and figuring it out together. Because I do think, Bart, there is something to be said about a draft pick that you have a personal ownership to the team because they drafted you. And you feel like, all right, I'm supposed to be part of the future. And when you sign a guy to a 1 year plus an option or a 1 year deal, those guys don't have ownership. What they're trying to do is like stake a claim. I'm trying to make something of myself. I don't have that long-term deal. So I'm here and I'm a mercenary. So you don't have that same vibe that you do when you've got a guy like RJ who's like, yo, I want to be up in that on the rafters here.
Right.
Like, you know, when you're Obi and you're like, I've always dreamed of this and now they want me. You know, Emmanuel Quickley, all of them have to have that feeling of I'm supposed to be here and I'm supposed to be part of the solution. They might get their heads kicked in some nights, but wouldn't you, Bart, rather watch that than more of, you know, the Elfrid Paytons and the Julius Randles and that kind of stuff, and, you know, Reggie Bullocks. I mean, if somebody's going to go 1 for 5, I'd rather it be a rookie who's figuring it out. Am I wrong or right to say that?
No, you're right, man. I get so frustrated watching Julius Randle spin into a triple team, bro. Triple team. Like, top of the key.
That happened last night, everybody.
Triple team. Then he falls down and gets and acts like it's some everybody else's fault. Everybody knew you was about to spin, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Mike Breen actually said goes into a spin before he did it.
Crazy.
No, but like, wouldn't you feel like this is where you are right now? This is your reality. You heard Tibbs talk about it yesterday. You got to be aggressive, try to find a star, all that stuff. Yes. But right now you are what you are. And developing is the most important thing that's going to happen for you with all these young guys. You've got now 3 years of 4 years of drafts, if you include Frank, 4 years of drafts on your roster. So that should be the focal point. And I'm telling you, without fans in the building, a younger team will have more of a chance to thrive than without fans in the building because you don't hear the boos. You don't hear the you don't get the pressure. You hear better. You hear more coaching, and they've got to cheer each other on. And what I saw were five guys that showed me that they cared.
And what Clyde was saying is you got to bring your own energy. When you have that, you have to be your biggest cheerleaders. And usually goes better, especially in a preseason atmosphere with young guys, because they're just excited to be out there. So they're gonna play like the air on fire. Some of the older guys, like they're like, this really don't count. Then they're done. And I'm gonna go out there.
I get it. Preseason,
Be a professional, but I'm not playing like with my hair on fire. You know what I mean? The craziest thing, man, that ever was said about me is, you know, I was playing against Atlanta Falcons in preseason. I was a D1 double slappy.
I'm a warrior.
and like, my boy was like, yo, Saragusa was clowning you on Fox today. He was like, man, Bart Scott's riding around here like it's a damn Super Bowl. Like, because I was playing at a different speed. Well, guess what? It was my Super Bowl because I ain't had no opportunity to play. I was a backup. I didn't have a chance to play. I was trying to stay in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, so you want to put as much as these young guys out there, to see if they got that intensity, if they're if they really, really want it, right? Like Mitchell Robinson, are you threatened by Noel? Well, let me see you take this job. You know what I mean? Let me see if I bench you and start him the next time I let you start. Are you going to be so pissed off that I'm going to be getting, like, help defense? I'm going to get great positioning. I'm going to get, you know, extra effort plays,
yeah.
hustle plays, because that's what we need you to be. And if we got to use Noel to get that out of you, then that's what we're going to do. You know what I mean? Knox, you know, look at like Quigley facilitating yesterday and really getting him, like, unlocking his offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that needs to be set up, getting him the ball in spots where he can be productive. Because we know for him it's about his confidence. This is the most unconfident person I've ever seen in my life, man. And listening to the broadcast talking about how he didn't start a lot of places that he went, he wasn't the guy. And now we ask him to come here and be the guy. That's never been in his DNA. So we got to teach him how to be Robin. Teach him how to be a co-star and teach him how to be effective. And somebody has to build this guy up. So that's what that game is all about. And that's what it was exciting to watch these young guys come together with no expectations, with Julius Randle demanding the ball because he gets the most money in the paint. Like, man, move out the paint, man. We don't live in there no more. The game ain't even played in there unless you Joel Embiid. Get your ass out of there, dog.
I just know this. I want to see more. And that's, in the end, I want to see more. And so we'll see if we see more. And then one quick addition we got to run. Is R.J. Barrett now in 3 preseason games looks like a guy that's taking that next step. And that's also a very important development that needs to continue to happen. So those are the positives. The negative, of course, is it's who they played against. And, of course, that it's only the preseason. Understood. But what we got to learn something for the preseason. That's what we learned.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.